Sir Thomas Parry.
Yes, Matthew Boyle.
Episode 151 of Tom and Matt Attack.
Ah,
the exact amount of Pokemon in the original game. We are the Mew of podcasts. And it's quite ironic, Tom.
Uh-huh.
Because I've probably caught that many playing Pokemon Go in the last 24 hours. It's Tom and Matt Attack.
I don't know if we covered this on the podcast, but you'd said previously you weren't going to continue with Pokemon Go. Even though those new monsters are on the way, you were very adamant that once you got that last chancy, that was it.
But you see, Tom, I didn't get that last chancy.
You didn't?
I'm still chancy-less.
So you thought, I'll make up for that by starting to catch some of these new ones.
Well, no, because I had heard that they were going to implement trading with the new update to Pokemon Go.
That would make a lot of sense.
And lo and behold, it didn't. So I have no option of trading for a Chansey. And so I was just looked and I opened the app and I was like, oh, where's the trading function? Oh, no, there's no trading function. Mm. Oh, there's a Murkrow. Oh, I caught the Murkrow. Isn't that nice?
Oh
there's a Sneasel. I should probably catch that Sneasel. And then I fell into it again.
Is Blissey available? Can you hatch out of an egg?
You can catch a Blissey. You cannot hatch evolutions of Pokemon.
No,
so,
but it's not
you
an
can
evolution,
only...
is it? It's
yeah,
a basic
it is.
Pokemon, Blissey.
No, it isn't.
Is Blissey...
Blissey is the evolution of Chansey.
I want the little one of Chansey.
There isn't a little one of Chansey one of the later gens, I think.
That's what I meant.
Yes.
I thought it was...
If that was the case, you could have hatched one of those out of an egg and then evolved it into a Chansey, but alas, that is not the case. A Blissey is the evolution of Chansey.
Hang on, I don't believe you, Matthew.
Yes, trust me, Tom, I've been staring at enough Pokemon Go-related
really?
Wiki stuff for the last 24
Blissey
hours.
I thought Blissey was a little one.
No, Blissey is the big one with the frilly skirt and the white bits in the pink design.
All right.
How are you anyway, Tom Parry? Before we talk about my dirty crack-like addiction to Pokemon Go.
How am I?
Yes.
I'm great, actually. Still been playing those old games. Recently had a resurgence of interest in the Nintendo Wii.
Yes.
Funny that, because I'd kind of thought I'd had everything, bought everything I was interested in on the Wii. There was nothing else out there. And then I started to think about, hang on, I haven't got a Spider-Man game on the Wii.
Oh, God.
And then I thought, well, I haven't got an X-Men game, well, Wolverine in this case, so I should get one of them, really.
Is that the next thing? Is it X-Men games?
Well, you know,
the
Spider-Man game thing was a...
Yeah, no, I know the Spider-Man
towards.
Thing.
Yeah.
So it's diverged.
Getting a Spider-Man
now.
Game on every system, and I was like, well, I've pretty much got a Batman game in every system. And I forgot I already had Lego Batman 2 on the Wii, but I bought a Brave and the Bold. Because, as far as I knew at the time, that was a Wii exclusive. We've just found out now it's on the...
The DS as well.
Just the regular DS.
Yeah, regular DS.
It does feel like it could be a DS game. It's made by WayForward. It's quite good for those who want something different. Batman. That's Batman related on the Wii. It's not Lego Batman. But the Spider-Man game I got. Amazing Spider-Man. I was just sharing that with you. Now, I thought, well, I've got Amazing Spider-Man 2 on the Wii U. Let's keep this Wii in the Wii family and let's get the original Amazing Spider-Man game of the movie for the Wii. Oh my.
Well,
what an ugly game that is.
From the off, they lie to you in the title. It should be the subpar Spider-Man. Because that's not a good game, Tom.
Well, I've been enjoying it, which is the strange thing about this game. Because it looks horrible. And to me, I felt very much this was a game that hadn't had a lot of love and affection put into it. This is very much, well, we want to release the same game we've made for the 360 and the PS3. On the Wii, what are we going to do? We haven't got time to make a Wii version of it. We're just going to press the downgrade button and release a game which is the same game essentially, but we're going to strip out the open world area, which is why I think most people play Spider-Man games anyway nowadays, is to swing around New York. But this game takes that bit out, takes the most exciting, interesting bit out of the more recent Spider-Man game.
Yeah.
And gives you a very linear mission-based structure to follow.
Yes.
And it does all this with disgusting visuals. I think barren locations and an all-round rough-round-the-edges feel. Yet the gameplay itself is reasonably enjoyable in a sort of generic third-person action game kind of way.
But compared to another third-person action-adventure game, is it that enjoyable or is it just bearable? Because me looking at it, it looked very, very clunky, Tom.
Yeah, it is clunky. But I think it just implies that the other versions of the game are actually quite all right.
Well, we watched a video. We watched, you did, there's a bit where you're in a mental institution and you're trying to take people out of this psychiatric ward.
The Dr. Connors.
And like, we watched the Xbox 360 version of it, which is actually like, oh, wow, that game looks pretty nice. And then looking at the very, very low poly environments and the very downgraded character models. And the fact that they've taken all of like the visual effects out, and so the fire is literally, as you would expect on a PlayStation 2, if not a PlayStation 1 game, is a block of coal that has slight orange bits to it, whereas it's a full effect. Just looks awful.
Very good. Spider-Man itself looks sort of stretched.
Yeah, weirdly enough, because I wanted to check, and the reason I pulled up the video in the first place, it was... Is that how Spider-Man should look? And no, it isn't. They've slimmed and stretched the character model in a way that just baffles me. I don't know why they did it. I guess maybe because theirs had too many... what are they called? Anchor points, is it, in animation?
I'm not sure.
Is it too fluid a thing for the Wii to be able to handle how it animates?
As far as I'm aware, this version wasn't handled by an external company. It was handled by the same studio that developed the other ones.
Yeah.
Beanox, I think.
It shows that all of their eggs were clearly in the 360 and PS3 basket.
Yeah, because usually you find Wii versions are made by other developers. You know, you've got that main version of big consoles, then you've got the Wii version. And usually that works out pretty well. In the case of Force Awakens 2, I've played that one. That's pretty good. It's actually got an extra one-on-one fighting mode in it, which is nice for the Wii version. And usually they've got some waggle controls in. I was just also bought X-Men Origins Wolverine, as I was saying about collecting these games. And that's pretty nice as well. It's actually... For me, the closest you're going to get to a third-person brawler type thing, like I'm thinking again, similar to, say, God of War type.
Yeah.
And it's quite violent for a Wii game. It makes me think, what was the audience for this? Because this is essentially a downgraded... It's not a downgraded version of the Xbox 360 one, but it is... not quite as polished version.
Yeah.
It's got different levels and everything. It is exclusive to the Wii, but... Where is the audience? Because people are interested in a violent Wolverine game like that. Probably going to go for the Xbox 360.
Oh, interesting.
Version,
this game was natively designed for the 3DS and later ported to the Wii.
Ugh.
Yeah. That would explain a lot about why this game looks so terrible.
It's a 3DS game ported to the Wii?
Yes. This makes a lot of sense.
Spider-Man?
Yes.
What about development and marketing, Matthew? I see that. You got any like Wikipedia article there?
Beanox development team behind the Shattered Dimensions and Edge of Time.
Yeah.
Released in 2012. Rhino was in it, as you mentioned to me off the air. Reception doesn't really say specifics. Wii version got 58 out of 100 by Metacritic standards.
Fair.
Yeah, very.
Fair. So the Wolverine game was pretty good. The Spider-Man game's not so good. If you're after a Spider-Man game on Wii, I imagine there's probably better games. So Spider-Man 3 and Spider-Man Friend or Foe are also available on the original Wii.
Yeah, there's also the... Didn't they port that like one where you can be like Noir Spider-Man and all of this other stuff? Shattered
Dimensions.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's maybe a Wii version. I don't know how that holds up or if it's a similar
perhaps it is.
Situation to this one.
Well, hopefully not this bad. Because, I mean, this is just atrocious. Mm. The fact there's a 3DS game ported to the Wii says a lot, really.
Yeah, I imagine on the 3DS's smaller screen, it's probably a little bit, you know.
Yeah. Do you have any inclination to pick up the Wii version, the Wii U version of this now? Because there is a port of the Wii U version.
Yeah, was this released?
It was released in Europe as well. I just found out in this Wikipedia article.
No, not particularly.
No?
Because I've got the main Spider-Man 2 on the Wii U. And
But think about it, you could play through one level on the Wii and then play through on the Wii U and go, man, this version's a lot better. Maybe I should stick with this. Nah, back to the Wii.
I can do it. Spider-Man games are interesting because they seem to retain their value.
Yeah.
Here in Denmark, at least, all those ones like Web of Shadows or Shattered Dimensions, as we spoke, but Edge of Time.
Yeah.
All these games are still reasonably expensive on the 360 and PS3.
Yeah.
Because people like Spider-Man.
They do, yeah. Especially children.
He's still pretty popular, yeah. And that's probably why there is a Wii version of this game, because kids like Spider-Man.
Yes, and I mean, you know, the Wii
but
was...
kids like... Sorry.
The Wii was still a console at this stage, yeah. Wasn't it? It was still something that people
they
had...
They can sell this to little kids who've just gone off and seen the movie and want to play the game of the movie and don't have the other consoles. They only have a Wii.
I mean, there's a Wiizen that...
A Wiizen?
A Wiizen. Let that Wiizen be love. Yeah. That... all of the Skylanders games still came to Wii.
Mm.
I believe up until Imaginators, right? Imaginators is probably the first one.
Yeah, Superchargers was on Wii, but that was a bit of a different game, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was. But, you know, there's a reason that was the child's console, I think, in a lot of cases. A lot of people bought it to play Wii Bowling and then were like, oh, actually, this console has nothing for me, and then just gave it to the kiddiewinks.
Yeah. But it has Wolverine Origins.
It does, yeah. It also has Mad World. I mean, you know, it has a Project Zero game in Japan. There's a lot of adult games on the Wii.
Well, it has it outside Japan as well.
Yeah.
It has Project Zero 2.
I mean, No More Heroes.
No More Heroes, yeah. The Wii. I think there's still a lot to enjoy about the Wii. You've never really been a fan of the Wii, have you?
I'm not a fan of the Wii. It's my least favourite Nintendo console.
The reason is because that's all I had for some time. I probably talked about this before. You know, I didn't have a 360 or a PS3. I said to myself, I'm just gonna have the Wii.
I bought the Wii to play first-party Nintendo games, and that was about it. And I didn't even play most of those, to be honest with you. I mean, as this long-time listeners of the podcast know, I've never played Super Mario Galaxy. Now I own both copies of it, and I will eventually get to that. But
both copies of it? Well.
Super Mario Galaxy 1 and 2, I mean.
Maybe there's
they're
two
both,
copies.
There are two copies in the world, and they are both mine.
Yeah, but enough of my adventures in Wii. Well, what about...
Well, Tom, I've been taking a leaf out of your book, really, I guess, and playing some PS2 games.
Oh, well, yes, we just love downgrading.
Well, I mean, you know, some would say there's perhaps the best console of that generation with a plentiful bounty of games.
Others would say that the Xbox was a lot better, and if you couldn't have the Xbox, then have the GameCube, because...
Some people would say that they talked about that on this very podcast. Some people might say a certain Welsh person talking right now has also said something to that effect. Change my mind, Tom. Yakuza is fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's only on PS2.
And it's only on PS2. And then I looked at my shelf, Tom, and was like, man, this still plays very good. I'm quite surprised by how well this game is.
There are
still
those PS2 games which are exclusive to the system which are very good. I don't deny
then,
that.
Then I looked over my shelf and I was like, oh man, I've got Okami. I never played Okami. Maybe I should play my copy of Ico again now that I've beaten The Last Guardian. Maybe I should play my copy of Shadow of Colossus. Hey. And then I just ended up looking at my shelf and realised I've got like 200 very fucking good games here. And yeah, Yakuza is no exception to that.
200 is a bit of a stretch.
Hey man.
I've got about 200 and something PS2 games, and I won't say all of them are masterpieces.
Hey man, like 50 of the games I've got on that shelf are Phoenix games, so...
But then, yes, I guess you've also got some RPGs, which I don't have any of.
I do have an awful lot of RPGs. I have an awful lot of shooters. I have an awful lot of big first and third party titles released exclusively for that console. Like Yakuza.
Yeah.
Tom Parry, I'm very begrudging that I've only just played Yakuza. I remember there was a time and place back in the early days of this podcast when me and you were in GameStop and they had that 500 kroner thing on games.
When they used to sell PS2.
Yeah, when they used to sell PS2 games, and I remember you showing me a copy of Yakuza and going, oh, it's a Sega game, it's kind of open world. I was like, I don't fucking care about Grand Theft Auto. And then
I probably said it was similar to Shenmue at the time because
you probably did.
I played it briefly and I thought, well, this is the closest thing I've played that, you know, closest thing that comes to.
I'm going to make a very controversial statement on this podcast. They're already made on Twitter. Say it's better than Shenmue. I think it's a much better game.
I've not played enough of it.
I think I played Shenmue, Tom, about a year ago, and as I played it, I was like, oh, well, yeah, you know, I can see what was good about this at the time. This is interesting. Combat and Yakuza is so much better. I like how it handles combat in an almost JRPG
fashion. I never played Shenmue for combat particularly.
The story is fucking leaps and bounds better than Shenmue's story. And also the fact that the voice acting got a real bad rap when this game came out, apparently. There is nothing bad about it, especially when you compare it to Shenmue, which everyone sounds like they recorded their voice dialogue one word at a time, and then someone stitched the sentence together.
It's part of the charm, though, isn't it?
Is it?
I think so.
Interesting, because I honestly do believe that Yakuza is a much better game. I'm playing through it now, and I'm going, man, I've not had this much fun with combat, even though, obviously, camera controls are pretty limited. What you can do in terms of your combat sequences is pretty limited. It reminds me of playing a good fighting game.
You know what? I think at the time when I first played Yakuza, it reminded me of Def Jam Vendetta.
Yeah.
Or Def Jam Fight for New York, one of the two. Fight for New York was a little bit more, you had those outside ring arenas where you could interact with, you know, throw things. And I really like that game. And Yakuza's got a similar combat, satisfying combat system.
It has. You know, you're walking around the area of Tokyo that you're walking around as the Dragon of Dojima. And you're there.
Is it a big area? I've not explored it particularly.
Obviously, like, it's got the PS2, like, hey, we can't really handle this massive open world in the same way that Grand Theft Auto can, but I mean, that's always been a thing with Japanese-developed open world games, at least for me, at least, where they have these loads between areas.
Quite ambitious, wasn't it, in what it visually what it was trying to do?
It definitely was. I mean,
GTA 3, for instance.
Yeah, it's definitely not the roughest-looking game, even though when I did turn it on originally, I was like, man, those character models look a bit
ropey. You played Amazing Spider-Man on the Wii. So.
Exactly, and it does not look anywhere near as bad as that game that came out 7 years after it, so I think that's a little bit of a tick in the side of Yakuza. Honestly, I've not had this much fun playing a PS2 game in a while. Like,
It's considered one of those good PS2 games, though, isn't it?
Well, I put it in, and the copy of the disc I had was not greatly treated before I picked it up in Blue City, which is the place where me and you tend to buy our video games these days for cheap, at a very reasonable 30 kroner about, I don't know, a couple of weeks back, for Christmas sometime. Because I'd been after this game for a while, because I'd played...
Skipped out of there quite happy, I imagine.
I did. I was a very happy boy, because I'd finally found a copy of Yakuza, and I'd been promised it by a podcast listener, Sam, said, hey, I have a spare copy. If you want it, you can play it, because I'd said on this very podcast that I wanted to try it out. And I played a bit of the first chapter, and essentially what would happen is the game would keep freezing, and I take it out and I clean it and I'd be like, oh man, okay. And then I get a little bit further and then it would have the same issue where I'd either crash when talking to an NPC or it would get stuck on a loading. And it was only frustrating because I really wanted to play the game.
Otherwise, we'd have given up.
And, you know, if it was Amazing Spider-Man, for example, I think if it were crashed on the first loading screen, I would have been like, oh, fuck this, and turn it off. I'm not bothered. But because it was, I had so much fun playing Yakuza, I wanted to try it. And lo and behold, through persistent cleaning, it seems to be running fine now, touch wood.
Yeah.
As talked about on last week's podcast, I was also out for a copy of Yakuza 2, especially after I started playing Yakuza, because I was like, this game is fucking awesome. I need to play the second one in this. I am going to continue the order and play Yakuza 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... 6 isn't out yet, but then go back to 0.
Yeah, do you have the ability to go straight to 3? Have you got that one?
I do not have 3. No. I'm going to need to track down 3 and 4.
I have 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I may have to borrow it off you then. But I'm definitely going to get a copy for myself, because...
4 I don't have. Do you have to play Dead Souls as well?
I have Dead Souls. Yeah. That one, fortunately, they still had in a local GameStop for a whopping 49 kroner.
I saw it there.
So I was like, I'm going to pick that up while I still can, while it's still there. But honestly, the character development's great. The music's very good. The voice acting, like, I'd not played it earlier because everyone, like, as soon as I got it, I posted it online and they're like, oh man, the voice acting in that version's terrible. No, it fucking isn't. I experienced much worse voice acting in PS2 games. Like, play Final Fantasy X, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Like, that game is awful. Like, especially...
Play a game with good voice acting.
What?
Amazing Spider-Man.
Really? It was all right, but I mean, you know.
I'm going to try and mention Amazing Spider-Man all the way through this.
Please don't. But all in all, like, combat's amazing. I think the way...
Amazing.
Yes.
Shit, like you amazing
infected
Spider-Man.
Me. Oh, no! Combat's great. Music's good. Character design is impeccable. I'm really looking forward to spending some more time with these characters as the series progresses. Mm-hmm. I guess some of them will die, some of them will carry on. I know Majima, is that the name of the guy with the eye patch?
Oh, no.
He's in all of the Yakuza games, or at least a lot of them. I know he's definitely
What's
in...
What's that feudal Japan one?
There's a feudal Japan
yeah,
one.
Yeah, there's one set in feudal Japan. The Yakuza
really?
Game, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's very curious.
So I don't think that's had a release outside of Japan.
Oh, is that the one on the PSP?
No, it's on the PS3,
really?
As far as I know.
Okay, interesting. I did not know that. I'll look it up anyways. Yeah. But all in all, I cannot say enough good things about Yakuza. I'm very surprised at how good that game is
and
how well it holds up.
It's doing really well for Sega, isn't it? I mean,
yes.
It's very popular in Japan and... I don't really know how popular it's ever been in
the West.
In the West,
well,
really.
I mean,
but it's still getting released.
It's still getting localized, and then the argument I had with Sam, the person who was going to give me this copy of Yakuza on Twitter, was he's like, "Oh, well, of course, Shenmue's better than Yakuza." And I was like, "Well, there's a reason one of these games didn't have to crowdfund its third entry." Was my comeback to that?
Oh well, there's a lot of other factors involved in this. Yeah.
Is there?
I think there is.
Both of them are made by Sega.
Because Shenmue 2 came out on the Dreamcast.
One of them cost an obscene amount of money to make and then didn't make it back. Yet Yakuza, which is a very ambitious game, sold over 1 million copies in the first one.
I think Yakuza is a very appealing. You know, that idea. Japanese Mafia is quite an appealing one. There's many movies about it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's easier to sell to your average gamer,
it's
right?
More
I mean,
popular.
The reason I didn't buy that copy originally was, like I said, because I assumed it was a GTA clone. And I was like, I don't want to fucking play that.
Because what is Shenmue when you think about it? You know, it's not. You can't put it into a box and say it's this type of game. It's a story about a guy whose father gets killed.
Yeah.
And he's trying to hunt down the killer, basically. But it's not got that hook, I guess, that the Yakuza series has.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, like Toshiro Nagashi.
Ah, the monkey ball man.
Yes, he worked with Yu Suzuki, didn't he, right? Like, they worked together at some point, and that is the Shenmue connection in these two things.
Yeah.
Is that these guys kind of went off and made their own big open world
Both
games. I think maybe he even worked on the first Shenmue.
Yeah.
So perhaps comparing them isn't that fair because they are... Perhaps Yakuza is a derivative work of Shenmue. Still think it's a better game.
Yeah, and it does feel different enough not to be lumped in with it. But
it does.
If you want that kind of... Yeah, it's about being in Japan, isn't it? I think for Westerners, the games are very appealing because you get that sense of place.
Yeah.
You do in Shenmue and you do in Yakuza from what I've played of it.
But I mean, this one, I was quite surprised how grounded it feels.
Yeah.
Compared to what I played of Zero.
Yeah.
I think this series kind of takes a stark left turn somewhere along the line and just goes crazy.
Because
from what I've seen and what I've played of Yakuza Zero, it's completely bananas over the top.
Yeah.
Whereas this one's very like, hey.
Yeah,
man.
I think they've pushed it. Every release, they've pushed it further and further. It's more like crazy, something like Dead or Alive.
Yeah.
I think actually the director of Dead or Alive, is that Takeshi Miike who did that?
Maybe.
It could be. He made the Yakuza movie.
Yes.
Because there's a movie, a live-action movie.
Yeah, I just saw that. I saw that there's an adaptation.
Yeah, and I imagine that's suitably crazy as well.
Yeah, I would assume so. I mean, not to generalise, but I think a lot of Japanese straight-to-TV movies based on video games and anime generally are, right? They kind of try and...
I don't know if that was a big... I think it was a big release. A big director. So it could have been... pretty massive at the time.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Massive franchise.
I mean, it seems to be a pretty big franchise in Japan anyways. Yeah. I mean, they even got a HD remaster of 1 and 2 on the PS3 and the Wii U.
So I guess it all depends on success of Zero, whether we get that remaster.
Yeah, I guess so. No, well, I mean, they're actually reworking on... They've remade the first game and they're going to release that later in the year over here. And then I guess they'll do the same for 2.
Unreleased on the PS4.
Unreleased on the PS4, yeah. As well as Yakuza 6, which is apparently coming out this year as well. So it's a jam-packed year of Yakuza.
Ooh, wow.
Which
well,
I'm more than happy with at the moment.
You know what I don't like about Yakuza? Is that 1 and 2 have very similar box art.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is
just
literally...
It's like you left 2 in the sun for too long.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, the first game is the back of Kazuma, and he's got his dragon, so and then it's blue, and then it's exactly the same shot, it looks like, and then it's just in black and white instead. did I mention on the podcast that game has gone obscene?
You did.
Yeah.
You mentioned,
like,
it was very expensive. It is. Well, to me,
I've seen copies sell for over, like, 60 quid at the moment, and, like, most of the buy it nows are in the £99, £120 region.
It was expensive when I bought it about 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it was, you know, it's still, like, 30 quid.
Yeah.
You know. I think, but you could buy new copies back then.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I bought a new copy.
I almost
25
bought
quid or something.
I remember seeing new copies on like Danish websites like CD On and Cool Shop, like when they had some old PS2 stock.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of getting, I didn't buy one back then, but I mean, for all intents and purposes, the copy I managed to get from Hungary was new.
I
paid a whole £4 for it, so I'm not so out of
good
pocket. Fortunately, I don't have to pay these insane rates because I just shopped around a little bit and managed to find it cheap.
Matthew. But,
yeah.
How excited are you about Switch?
Pretty.
I know I've radically changed the
I mean, you know, it's out in a... Two weeks?
Thought we had to address it because 2 weeks. And have you seen that video that's leaked about the UI?
I have.
You
that? Looks pretty clean. Looks
it
pretty sexy.
Clean. I couldn't. You know, though, I was seeing these comments. Oh, it looks great. It looks really good. It's like, well, it isn't really. You haven't really shown anything there.
No, no.
Particularly.
I mean,
it's basic. Fine.
Yeah, but I mean, does it need to be anything more than that? Does it need to be more anything more than just a clean user experience?
No,
like,
no. I like the plaza though. The Mii Plaza, was it called on the Wii U?
Me too, but I think, to be honest with you, perhaps, and obviously I'm just speaking pure speculation here, is that it's probably a case of them saying, hey, we have this console, like we have this thing. We're going to be up against things like the PS4 and the Xbox One. Mm. We need to make this as slick as an experience as we can on
and
handheld.
Also keep it fresh, you know, distance itself from the Wii branding, which was all about the Miis, wasn't it?
But I mean, you know, Nintendo's generally, historically at least, been a company that when it makes user interface, and it just shows it doesn't care about user experience. I mean, look at the 3DS. Anytime I turn my 3DS on, that thing takes like a good half a minute to a minute to load.
Now you want a new 3DS.
Yeah, perhaps for the new 3DS it would have, but why should I pay to have that experience? Why shouldn't that be like
that out
of the box?
I always like the Wii U's menu because it just simply, you've got the games there, you press the game you want to play and you're in there. It's a lot better than the Xbox One's menu.
The Xbox One's menu is trash, I totally admit
still,
to you.
Still, to this day, it frustrates me. I like that in-window thing and it keeps it in that big window.
Yeah.
Kind of like that, but...
I mean, the PS4 is not great for large libraries. I like the fact that it's not
folders,
just a continuous bar now and the fact that you make folders.
The folders has helped that end, but no end, yeah.
Generally speaking, for I need the PS4 to do... I can, you know, like we mainly use it for video on demand services like Netflix, and I will be playing whatever game I'm playing in that time. Mm-hmm. As you know, I tend to beat a lot of games, then I tend to delete them off my hard drive because I haven't got enough space. So for that, I've got most of the stuff that I've left on there and will continue to play are in their own folders, like Battlefield and Overwatch, so I can quickly go to my multiplayer games and load one of those up with little to no complication. Mm. Whereas I always thought that was a bit lacking in the Xbox One. But then again, I've not used my Xbox One to really say.
I have.
You have.
Recently. Yesterday I bought MotoGP 15.
Okay. How was that?
It's pretty good. So I was playing it this morning, and once you get to grips with it, because motorcycle racing games are quite different from car games. The motorcycles handle quite differently.
Especially when you can punch people or hit them with chains.
Oh, well,
those are the most exciting racing games.
They're
the
most exciting ones, but this was pretty good. It was, what was it, 70 krona brand new?
Okay.
That's, of course, it's 15, so...
Yeah.
You know, it probably came out in 14, I imagine.
Probably,
But it's fun, and I'm happy to have something a bit different, because I've got a rally game on there. You know, I've got the Forza games. To add a motorcycling game to that for a reasonable price, I was quite happy and really enjoyed what I'd played of it this morning.
It's all right.
Yes, but I haven't much to say about that one.
No.
I mean, it is what it is.
Fair enough.
I've been playing the golf game, the only golf game that's available on modern formats.
Okay.
Rory...
McIlroy.
McIlroy, yes. Me and Claire were playing that this morning, and yeah, once you get used to it, it feels a little bit different. It's trickier to putt
right
in this golf game than I'm used to, and of course it uses the pulling back on the stick rather than pressing the button at the right time, which I've never quite liked, but it does add an extra level of strategy to it because you've got to make that push straight.
But isn't it just like you're playing golf, Tom? Doesn't it make it more realistic that you're playing?
That's the idea, isn't it? But I always prefer it the other way. But the thing is, I was thinking about golf games, and the only thing you can really improve in these now, because from the beginnings of video games, golf games have essentially been the same thing, apart from the introduction of this stick malarkey. So really, it doesn't play any different than, say, Tiger Woods on the 360.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, or Tiger Woods on the PS2, or it's...
It's like racing games, right? I think, you know, there's a certain degree of polish and a certain degree of history that has gone into racing games. And so now the only thing that really separates one racing game from another is how well it looks and the car licenses it has.
With this, I think they've done more with racing games than they've ever done with golf games. I think you are more restricted in a golf game. And of course, this looks pretty nice, but I can see why there haven't been any other golf games on the Xbox One or the PS4. Although Everybody's Golf, I think, had a release in Japan or is getting one.
100 Foot Robot Golf. I know it's not
that one.
Traditional golf game. I mean, Outlaw Golf didn't, right? That series is long dead.
I think so. Yeah, at least that tried something a bit different. And of course, you've got Mario Golf, and you've got this new Mario Sports game 5-in-1 thing that's coming out. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, there's a 3DS. It's got a 5-in-1 sports game. It's got a baseball and golf and football and horse riding and something else.
Did you ever buy like the Mario and Sonic at the Rio Olympics?
Yes. Yeah. I haven't played it yet though.
I've heard it's terrible, but I would like to play you in rugby sevens because it's the first time they've made a Mario rugby game, and I'm very curious.
Yeah, well, I'll bring it back.
Yes, please do.
I come back from the UK. I really wanted to get that, so I did.
Yeah,
because I like Mario and I like Sonic.
Yeah, good job, Tom. You support that industry. I actually picked up 1-2 Switch. I messaged you feverishly. Yes,
And of course,
on Friday,
as usual, my phone was on silent.
Exactly. Tom Parry is the worst user of a mobile telephone that I've ever seen.
It's because I turn it silent when I go to bed.
Yeah, but I mean, so do I, but I keep it on a table so it vibrates. I mean, I don't...
I never notice I keep my pocket in my jacket, you
see. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Yeah. If it's not on your person, you're not going to feel it vibrate. So, yeah, there was a slight hiccup in Amazon's registry for about an hour on Friday. Well, you could buy a download code of 1-2 Switch.
I wonder how you find out about that.
Because I happened to get tagged on a Twitter post of someone saying, "Hey, I know you're excited about the Switch. Have you seen this?" And then I went, oh, hello.
And how much was it, Matthew?
It's £2, Tom.
Whole and they've honoured that.
199 pence. I'm just checking my orders to confirm it's still there.
And it's not a physical version, you said.
Ooh, actually, I don't know if it's still in my orders. Oh, no. Oh, no! No, it doesn't look like it's in my orders anymore. That's the son of a bitch. Oh, well, I won't be getting one to Switch at launch.
What if you paid money?
Well, no, I pre-ordered.
You pre-ordered it?
Yeah.
You pre-ordered... They have to honour that, though, don't they?
They should, but alas, it looks like it has gone from my orders. If I go to 1-2 Switch now, I cannot even... Oh, I am. Maybe I can switch. Yeah, switch download code £40. Fuck that.
Purchased download code and it's just disappeared.
I pre-ordered and yeah, apparently that is gone from my orders now. I'm gonna. Oh, I can't even check my emails to see if they sent me anything. Going like, oh, sorry about this. This is a misprice. Yeah, like maybe... £5 off voucher or something that would be nice. But I mean, you know, I pre-ordered my Wii U for like fucking almost £100 under the thing, and they honoured that. So
I saw some places were selling the Wii, sorry, not the Wii, the Switch at like £200.
Yeah, I've seen that as well.
Yeah.
Which is odd, because, I mean, it seems to have sold out most places. So yeah. I think this is perhaps, like, after stock of, hey, maybe you won't get this for launch.
I don't know how they can sell it that cheap, actually.
No, me neither. But I guess that's a thing for another day. Yeah, I'm just going to check my mails. But
not long till Zelda as well.
It is not long till Zelda.
You interested in anything else that's coming soon, Matt?
Not really. I mean, I want to pick up Yakuza 0 still. There's a few other bits and bobs I want. But at the moment, I'm kind of content with what I have, especially playing through the rest of the Yakuza games. I also really, 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 really want to get into my Wii U back catalogue. I'm going to play Zelda.
Wii back catalogue?
Well, I haven't really got that much on my Wii back catalogue, to be honest with you. I would like to get Horizon Zero Dawn at some point, but I'm not desperate for it. I would like to
neither
get...
Neither am I, actually.
There's something else coming out over the next couple of weeks that I want, and I can't remember what it is.
I'm interested in... Injustice 2, actually.
Looks pretty good.
Because Mortal Kombat X was really solid, and I'm imagining that this is similar. I don't know if it uses the same engine. Probably does.
I think so.
So I think that could be a lot of fun.
Oh, hang on, I have got an email. Important information regarding your Amazon order for...
Oh, here we go. What's it going to say?
The price for 1-2 Switch download code was displayed incorrectly when you placed your order. Oops. Despite our best efforts, with millions of items available on our website, pricing errors can occasionally occur. In our condition of use sale, we state that the item's correct price is higher than our standard price. We will, at our discretion, cancel the order and notify you of the cancellation.
Well,
your order
is
now being cancelled and still want to purchase this item. Please place a new order that will be charged correct price when you dispatch it. We just spare you for any inconvenience. Well, that's bullshit. Oh, well, I'm not getting 1-2 Switch then.
I guess everyone had that same message.
Yeah. I guess so, yeah. Oh, well, I mean, it's because the internet went around and went, oh, my God, I think. And even though it was only there for an hour, I mean, they probably looked at it and were like, actually, I've just realised something. That download code is more expensive than a physical copy. What's up with that?
I don't know, Matthew.
That's $34.99 for a physical copy of 1-2
Switch.
It's like
jumping on the PlayStation Network and wanting to buy a game.
And then it's £40.
Maybe it's that instantness of
it. Yeah, but I'm buying that through Amazon, not even through Nintendo. Why are Amazon charging me more than
Nintendo shop? You don't
have to
wait for them to deliver it.
Yeah, but
you just type it in.
But you need to download it.
You do.
You need to store it on an optical device, which is more than can be said for the point of the cards.
It's okay, Matthew.
Oh, fuck, that it's sucks. Okay. I'm gutted. Never mind.
You don't mind what else is coming out. Tekken 7's out in June. That's on my list.
Yeah.
Ukulele's out in April. Injustice 2's May.
Oh, Night of the Woods is out next week.
Night of the Woods.
Yeah, I'll be getting a code for that because I backed it on Kickstarter way back when. So I look forward to playing that.
So that's finally coming out. That's cool.
Yes, it is. It was slightly delayed because of something to do with... their certification, I believe, was the thing they told Kickstarter backers. But they were like, yeah, it's pretty much done. We need to submit it for cert, and that's taking longer than we thought, so we're going to push it until February. Yeah, but this is the absolute last date. So that'd be nice.
Have you played anything else in the last week, or has it just been...
It has been Yakuza. And Pokemon Go.
I've played something.
Have you really?
I played a bit of 40 Winks this morning. I had 40 Winks, and then I played a bit of 40 Winks. And that's a game which I've been wanting to play for quite some time, and I bought it ages ago when it was available as a digital version on the PlayStation Network.
Yeah.
But I realised, as I was playing it, I hadn't actually played it before.
Really?
Yeah, I just played probably the tutorial.
Yeah, I own it. I have never played
it. So I would recommend giving it a go. It really has an aesthetic that's very similar to Banjo-Kazooie.
Right.
And... to me, it feels like an N64 game. And I think, I'm pretty certain it was being developed for the N64.
Okay.
At the time. But it eventually only got released on the PS1. Which I think is a terrible shame, because it could have been a pretty solid N64 platformer.
Yeah.
But it still looks very nice as on the PS1. And it's one of the nicest looking 3D platformers for that system, I'd say.
Yeah.
I like the concept, but these kids, you know, they say, oh, I don't want to go to bed, it's boring. You know, these kids, oh, no. But you can have dreams, and it's great, and then these little creatures called the Winx, and they're magical and they give you nice dreams. Are there 40 of them? There might be. I've collected two of them so far on the first level. But then there's a Hoodwinx, so they're the bad ones.
I remember
And so she explains the story. And then you wake up at night with your little candlestick and you wander off, and this talking clock tells you that you've got to go and rescue the Winx, so they've been captured by this evil guy.
Okay.
Who's got a talking teddy bear called Threadbear, who is his like he's like his Klungo to Grunty. You know? Quite similar in that respect. And you go into the first world, which is a spooky world, and you get to do a race against a witch character, which is very similar to Grunty. And actually having this kind of secondary minigame challenge in it made me think of Rare's platform games. But then you get into the Haunted Mansion, and you've got to collect so many cogs to get through doors. So it's level split up into, okay, so I need to collect 10 cogs in this area, maybe a little puzzle area, and then that'll open another door, and then go to the 10 cog door, I've got to get another 10 to open another door to get to another area. Unlike N64 games, it does feel like it's everything's blocked off in for loading purposes, so you take one part at a time.
Okay.
The platforming's pretty solid. Playing with the analog stick feels a little bit slippery, but not bad. You have a weird range of attacks. Well, general attacks are quite normal. You've got a punching attack and you've got a bum bounce. It's actually called a bum bounce in this game. You've also got a screaming attack, which is your projectile attack. So it's to scare away the bad dreams. You scream at them, which is quite terrifying, actually.
Okay.
But I was enjoying it. You know, it's simple, straightforward, very nice to look at, very charming, cartoony. And then I got up to a particular area where I had to get 10 more of these cogs, and to get them I had to do this very tricky bit of platforming. We're standing in a room and all these tables and chairs are spinning around me. What I had to do was hit a button in the middle of the room to stop the chairs and tables so I could jump up onto them to get to a higher area to get these cogs. I mean, it sounds quite simple on paper, but as I was standing there, I hit the switch, the thing started spinning around. I said, right, you know, I've got to hit it to stop it. Then you've got to stop them right, just at the right height so you can jump onto them, which is the first hurdle you've got to overcome, which is very difficult. While you're standing there waiting to get that perfect, stop them at the perfect time, get that perfect jump, the things that are spinning around are hitting the camera, moving the camera so you can't actually focus on the one you have to stop.
Okay.
So it's like, it made me feel quite nauseous after a while, because to get it right, you have to do it many times.
Yeah.
So you jump onto one and you're like, yeah. So you collect some collectibles as you spin round. And then eventually, of course, you have to jump off onto a higher platform to get the rest of them. But you can't do that by jumping off on the table you already jump on. You have to then jump onto a smaller table, which is also spinning. And the camera, again, is moving
with you.
So you can't focus on it very well. So it's kind of like take a leap of faith and get onto it. And then you have to jump off that platform at exactly the right time, because there's a moment when it spins when it just gets high enough for a couple of seconds for you to jump on the higher platform. And gee, this took me a very, very long time to do. After I'd done it, I felt quite proud of myself. But it suddenly gets incredibly difficult.
Yeah,
you know, it seems like a really kid-friendly game at first. That bit of platforming, and it's partly down to technical issue of the camera, was just so difficult. It nearly made me want to turn the game off. I did it in the end, and I do actually want to come back to the game because it was very satisfying. And I got thinking, well, maybe it's a challenging platform game.
Maybe.
But the fact it got so difficult so quickly, just in that little section.
Yeah,
I thought that was a bit of bad design.
That sucks. I was about to say to you, like, oh, well, I have this game. Maybe I'll play it alongside you and see what I think. But I'm like, nope, no care.
It's a tricky platform game. I'll see if it has any more moments like this, but I only anticipate it.
So this is the first level?
Yes, the first level.
Okay, maybe I'll give it a go and I'll let you know what I think on next week's podcast.
It's quite charming. And I think, I don't know if it gets talked about a lot.
Not really.
With any sort of nostalgia, but it's beautiful to look at.
Yeah.
For a PS1 game, I'd say.
I read that there was supposed to be an N64 version as well, but it was cancelled at the last minute.
I don't know if it was going to come out too late in the lifespan of the N64.
I don't know. This is what I read quickly when I was trying to see who developed it. It's done by Eurocom.
Who are a very competent developer.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm most familiar probably with their work on World's Not Enough for the N64. They've done a few Duke Nukem.
They did Duke Nukem 64 as well. Yeah.
Yeah, they ported that, which is another game that made me feel nauseous playing it. So.
Yeah, maybe that's a house style motion sickness.
Motion sickness included.
Yeah.
But I got 40 winks for about 25 kroner for my physical copy of it. And yeah. 25 kroner here in Denmark for a game like 40 winks is pretty good.
I think I paid about the same, if not slightly less, because I bought it at a flea market.
If you jump on eBay now, it's probably going to cost you about a tenner, I think.
Probably, it's I mean, PS1's on the rise. Ironically, PS2 seems to be on the rise more than PS1. But I think PS1 games, the rarities and all of that jazz have probably hit the heights they're probably going to hit for a while.
But the nice thing about this is you can also get it on the PlayStation Store. And that's playable on the PSP and the Vita as well. So that's nice.
You can't play any of the PS1 classics on the thingy, right? On the PS4 yet?
I don't think you can. No, not that I'm aware of.
That's a shame.
Is it about a tenner?
Yeah, you're right, about a tenner. At the £10 mark.
Yeah. It comes with a little map as well.
That's nice. So if you check see if it's for sale,
see if it's got a little map with it, which is quite fun.
Yeah. Been playing anything else?
Been playing anything else. I'm sat on the Elite Four on Pokemon Moon at the moment.
Yeah.
I haven't played that much this last week. I did pick up one more thing while I was in Horsens, which is... We frequent Horsens.
We do, yes.
Quite a lot. And... they have a second-hand shop there, and I always look through, see what they got. Looked through the PS2 games and found Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which had come to my attention through a video by Stop Skeletons from Fighting,
yes,
where they covered the Bushido Blade series, and they talked about the developer who did that and said they'd done this Crouching Tiger game. And I was like, okay, well, I'm curious enough to try this out at 30 kroner it was. I haven't got around to trying it yet. But, you know, 30 kroner, can't be that bad.
Yeah.
Can it?
Can
Kabuki
it?
Warriors is the game they made for the Xbox, the studio, which isn't very good.
Yeah.
You kind of get the impression that since Bushido Blade, they sort of went downhill a little
bit.
That's a shame. But I'll keep an open mind, see what this one's
like.
Let
me know how it is.
And let you know how it is. Let you guys as well. Now, if you're interested in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon on the PS2, I'll be sure to give you the lowdown.
In bargain bins and charity shops nationwide.
Probably.
Who would look at a Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon game and go, man, that very slow-paced kung fu movie, I bet that is a joy to play.
I guess the focus is on the fighting.
Yeah, well, yeah, I would assume so.
But it came out, if I remember, quite a long time after the film had come out.
Weird.
Which was, you know, there's no buzz around it. Why are you going to buy it, I suppose? Unless you like martial arts.
I don't think mums are really going to game around Christmas and going, oh, that Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, he loved that film.
All the kids love that one,
don't
they?
God, a lot of nice morals in that movie.
Yeah, beautiful piece of filmmaking.
Exactly,
that my 10-year-old just
My 10-year-old really appreciated the framing.
Yeah, maybe it's not a choice, but... There was a game I saw in there, in the shop in Horsens, called Whacked for the Xbox, which seemed like a wacky game show type thing. It was a bit like, I couldn't decide whether it was a 3D platform or like a mini game compilation.
Yeah.
But I'm not so familiar with it.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, that was why I was thinking, oh, should I try this?
Were you not curious enough to pick it up then?
No.
That's a shame.
Cost about 60, 70 kroner.
Oh, diddums.
And I thought, well, I should probably look it up first and see if it's any good before I part with that kind of cash.
It's a party video game developed by Presto Studios and released in 2002. So yes, you are right. It is a minigame compilation.
Do I really need a minigame compilation, Matthew? This is what I'm thinking. I have a few of them.
Okay, it is a game show in which creatures compete for a prize, whatever they wish, by hitting each other with objects such as missiles, hammers, and pitchforks.
Mm.
So yeah, from some of the things, there's a bit of fighting game mechanics in there as well, Tom. This sounds like it's right up your street. There are 7 different characters and even more levels. Levels are usually absurd or surreal, such as the back of a pickup truck involving a police chase, up in space or on top of a building, under a Christmas tree, in the Arctic pipeline. This is all one sentence, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Good editing, Wiki. Apparently there's lots of things to do in that game. Maybe you should check it out and see if that is something you want to be a part of. Something you should be a part of, Tom Parry, and I know you can't because your phone doesn't run. It's Pokemon Go.
You've changed your tune, Matthew. You really have.
Well, Tom, I'm almost at the other end of my Johto journey because I've caught over 50 of them.
Mm. The fact you're still talking about this now, you're still thinking about this as we're podcasting.
I'm opening it up to show testament. You because we talked about it at the entrance of this podcast, and then I wanted to see how you were doing before I got into it, and then I didn't. We seem to be in the perfect geographical location for the first time for a Pokemon Go entry, because before now, I would just be able to get the water Pokemon, such as Magikarps and whatever, and then there would be nothing else. I would get absolutely bugger all, and I'd be quite frustrated by it. So much so that when we went to Germany, me and my girlfriend, at the time, now my fiancée, Marta, we would look around, and I'd be like, oh my god, this fire Pokemon, isn't this amazing? This time around, I haven't needed to do that because a large majority of the Pokemon from Generation 2 are normal and water types, so they've been absolutely bloody everywhere.
Have you had a Wooper yet?
I have had a Wooper. I've evolved my Wooper. I have a Wobbuffet, Tom Parry.
Which is a psychic Pokemon.
Which is a psychic Pokemon. I've not caught a Pseudowood. I hatched an egg of a Mareep, which I made into a Flaffy to hopefully get an Ampharos.
You like the Ampharos.
I love the Ampharos, Tom. I also love the Tyranitar, but unfortunately,
that's going to be a hard one to get.
Not yet come across a Lavatar.
I think they're going to be one of the more rarer ones.
I caught a Gilgar on the way over here. Yeah. I have a Teddiursa. I have an Octillery. Yeah, I have a Slugma. Nice. I have a Cyndaquil. That when I press him, Tom Parry, this little fiery hedgehog spills fire out of his back. Isn't that nice? Yeah, as I said, I have a Wobbuffet.
You have a Starter. I have
a Quillfish. I have a Pinnico. I have a Skarmory that I caught yesterday when we were in Bilka.
I like them.
A Phanpy. A Mistrebius. And an Arados, a Sneasel, a Quagshire, an Octowl, an Azumarill, a Chinsho, an Aipom, a Skill.
Lots and lots
of these Pokemons, Tom. I've done sparse even. Just because we seem to be in the perfect geographical location, which is nice. Apparently, Heracross is, at this point in time, believed to be a regional exclusive, which is a bit of a shame, because I do like Heracross.
A regional exclusive to where?
To Mexico. Which means I will never get a Heracross.
He's a big fighting bug man.
Yes, apparently. apparently he is believed to be exclusive to Latin America at the moment. There are no other regional exclusives at the moment. Apparently, Smeagol, is that his name?
Smeagol
is not in the game at the moment. Unknowns are in the game. You can get all of the letters of the alphabet. Smeagol, that's the one.
Yeah.
There's another Pokemon. Oh, the ice bird thing that I can never remember the name of. The one that looks like Santa Claus.
Yeah. Delibird.
Delibird isn't in the game at the moment either, so people are believing, hey, that's probably going to be a Christmas thing.
Yeah, I imagine he will be.
But, you know, will I give a fuck in another...
Probably.
10 months' time? I don't know. I mean, like, I was ready to give it up. If I had got that chance...
So is it like a generation of Pokemon a year? Is this the...
Well, it seems to be how they're doing it at the moment, though, to be honest with you...
It came out last summer, though, didn't it?
It did come out last summer.
Quite a year.
But, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't really give a shit about the Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald Pokemon. There's one or two in there I really like.
I'd like them just as much as the Gold and Silver ones. I wonder, actually, how many people... are seeing these for the first time.
A lot of people I've talked to are seeing these for the first time.
They're not familiar with these Pokemon.
No, they're not as familiar with these Pokemon.
I wonder what they think. I wonder the general consensus is, oh, I like these guys, though. These aren't as good as the old ones.
Well, I was showing them to Marta yesterday just because, you know, a lot of them, like Teddiursa and Marill, are very cute.
They're very cute.
And then I was showing her just like a Wooper. And I was just like, that's adorable, isn't it? That's a tadpole that turns into a newt.
Yeah.
Don't ask. And then I was showing her Mareep and Flaffy, and I was like, they turn into a giraffe. And she's like, why the fuck do they turn into a giraffe? I was like,
is Ampharos a giraffe?
Yes, he is the electric giraffe Pokemon in the Pokedex.
The electric giraffe Pokemon.
Exactly. Ampharos, the electric... I don't want any corrections, just in case he isn't, but I'm 90% sure he is. Yeah, so there's a lot of weird Pokemon design in here, and naturally it's because they designed these...
Jaffarig is a giraffe.
Pokemon. Jaffarig is a giraffe
Now that's
Pokemon.
A weird one.
It is, yeah. People believed at some point, but it was debunked, because I know a few people in the UK have caught one, that was the African exclusive Pokemon to the African continent, but that has proven to be untrue.
Yeah, it sounds like rumour. Yes. What about unknown? Can you get every different unknown?
You can get every different unknown.
Wow.
I'm very curious to see if that actually like registers, if you can see like your different unknowns in the same way you could in Pokemon Gold and Silver, where there was almost an unknown Pokedex on top of the regular one. only time will tell, Tom. But like I said, I've got 50, the bloody 80 they've just put in the game already. So chances are I won't be playing this too much longer anyways.
No, unless those few you're after are very hard to get, like Lavatar.
Well, I mean, if I... Apparently it comes out of the 10-kilometer eggs. I have 4 of those at the moment. Mm. So it's going to take a while to hatch them because I'm not buying incubators anymore because bugger that. So we'll see.
Very good.
Hopefully by next week I'll have hatched at least a few of them and hopefully gotten a Lavatar out of it. But then...
Well, I wish you luck with your endeavour. I shall keep playing the 3DS game.
It's fine. You can judge me.
Catching them on there.
You can judge me as everyone else probably at home is as well. But I will beat this, Tom. I will beat this addiction. To be honest with you, though, I'm kind of putting up the ultimatum that maybe if I catch a Chansey, maybe then I just say, oh, well, I've done now.
No, you enjoy it too much.
Yeah, I mean...
There you go.
It's a good game for
Admit it.
For walking around playing.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
When I'm already on the way to a charity shop, which is where I caught most of these things, or on the way here where I caught my Gilgar. Mm. Like, you know, it's yeah. something to do while you're walking around.
Yeah. Because walking around isn't all it's cracked up to be.
No, it isn't. Walking around, overrated.
No one's looking at the scenery anymore. Not that there's. Well, depends where you are, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. In Denmark, a lot of grey skies, a lot of red bricks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it goes. Here. Anyway, on that depressing note, let's end this podcast before we start listening to some REM. If you've liked this podcast...
That's me in the corner. You think of that one?
No, I was thinking, everybody hurts. Yeah, that's an old, tired joke.
Losing my religion.
Shiny, happy people
there we go.
Holding hands.
Collecting
if you
Pokemon.
Are a shiny, happy person, then please...
But only shiny, happy people,
only shiny,
please.
Happy people. You can find us in a variety of places on blastprocess.com, tomamatattack.com/podcast, and in iTunes, where if you're there and going, oh, wow, I like these two nattering on about nonsense, you can like and subscribe to this very, very show. While you're there, give us a cheeky rate and subscribe. It's always appreciated. And share this with other people you think may listen to two British people in Denmark talking about random nonsense, because that's how the podcast gets around. Until next week, though, you can find us on Twitter at TMAcast and on Facebook at facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack. Anything to say in closing, Tom Parry, or should we wrap this up?
Keep being amazing.
Yes, be shiny happy. And more importantly, game on.
Game on.